Hello and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. My name is Chris Reeves. I'm the host of the program, and I'm glad that you are joining us for another period of study. Before we look at our lesson this morning, I wanted to simply announce our upcoming gospel meeting that was rescheduled. We're going to be having Jeremy DeHutt from Pendleton, Kentucky, speak December the 3rd through the 6th. And the series is called The Life of Christ, Lessons from the Land, December the 3rd through the 6th. And we would love to have for you to come and join us. We are meeting back in our services safely, and we would like for you to be a part of that. Jeremy DeHutt is a member of a group called Apian Media. They travel to Bible lands, and they make videos of Bible lands, and then they have commentary and lessons that go along with the different shots that they have made in the videos. And so it brings the Bible material to life in looking at actual places in Bible lands. And so there will be in each lesson a showing of one of those videos, a clip of that, and then a Bible lesson that goes along with that. So we would love to have you December the 3rd, starts on a Thursday night, through December the 6th. The lessons are entitled God's Nighttime Promise, Discovering Discipleship, Understanding True Worship, Celebrating Deliverance, Witnessing Humble Submission, Encountering True Love. The lessons Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night are at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning, 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. and Sunday evening, 6 p.m. If you need more information, if you'll contact us at the end of the program, we have contact information for us. Please feel free to contact us for more information. But come join us for those series of lessons. This morning on the program, I want to talk about the Christian's use of the Old Testament. Many people have heard that members of Churches of Christ do not believe in the Old Testament. That's a misunderstanding. Of course, we believe in the Old Testament. We carry the Old Testament in our Bibles. I preach from it regularly. We study from it. I've been doing a series on Sunday nights from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. We make points from the Old Testament, lessons, observations, principles, and so we definitely believe in and use the Old Testament. And so I want to talk about the Christian's use of the Old Testament. We need to understand the proper use of it. Now, the reason that some people have heard about Churches of Christ and that they do not believe in the Old Testament, that has been twisted and distorted, it's because we make the claim that is found in the New Testament that the Old Testament has passed away. We are not under the Old Testament or Old Law as a covenant or law. It is not a binding covenant on us today. That was for the Jews, and it was for the time starting at Mount Sinai. We have the Old Law. The Old Testament also includes the covenants, the law from Abraham down to Mount Sinai, and then the rest of that from Mount Sinai to Jesus dying on the cross, that was for the Jews. And that was for a particular people and for a particular period of time, and it was done away at the cross. Ephesians 2:14, Colossians 2:14 talk about the Old Law being nailed to the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, a new covenant was instituted because his blood was shed for a new covenant. And that's what is in force today. One Bible passage that we need to be reminded of, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then he said, "Lo, I am come to do thy will." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. The first being the Old Law taken away, that he may establish the second, the new covenant, the new law. The 27 books of the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation. Now, the idea of the Old Law passing away That is the topic of a separate lesson. There are many other Bible passages that we could look at. But the old law has been done away. It has been fulfilled in Christ and done away. So we are not under that as a covenant or law. However, there are good uses of the Old Testament, and that's what we want to study this morning. How can the Christian today who is under the new law, how can he or she use the old law? We're going to look at several points this morning. And so we don't tear it out of our Bible. We don't ignore it. The old law serves as a purpose and a value, not just for Jews, but for all people. And that's what we want to study this morning on the program. Let's look at several good reasons and uses of the Old Testament today. First of all, the Old Testament points forward to Jesus Christ. And there are a number of ways in which that is done in the Old Testament. There are types and antitypes. There are prophecies. The old law bears witness of the coming of Jesus Christ. And even though Christ has already come now, we can look back to the old law and see lessons on the coming of Jesus Christ, and we can learn about what the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, is by looking at the old law. And so it bears witness of Jesus Christ. There are a number of passages that we could look at on this, but in Luke chapter 24, after Jesus was resurrected, Jesus brought to mind to his apostles the old law. And in Luke 24, verse 44, Jesus said, "These are my words which I have spoken unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Concerning me. So again, there are different ways in which that was done. Type and antitype, prophecy, other ways in which that was done. And so it points to Christ, and it could bring a person to Christ, and especially the Jew in living in the first century had the old law that was to bring him to Christ. When Jesus came on the scene, if the Jew knew the Old Testament properly, it would identify where the Messiah came from and what he was all about, and that Jew could come and put their faith in Christ if they wanted to, and many did. Some did not, but many did. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, Paul writes, "So that the law," the old law, "is become our tutor to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." That's another passage that points to the passing away of the old law. But the old law has become our tutor to bring us to Christ. And so it can point the way to Jesus Christ. The old law preaches about the coming of the Christ. What was interesting in the book of Acts is that there are several sermons and lessons that are recorded, preaching occasions in which Paul and others used the old law to demonstrate the coming of Jesus Christ. And so on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, Old Testament passages are quoted. In Acts chapter 8, with regard to the Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading from Isaiah 53, and Philip preached Christ unto him, preached Jesus unto him, starting with Isaiah chapter 53. Acts 13, Acts 17, Acts 18, Acts 28, different places it says that Paul used the old law to preach about Jesus Christ. This would have been the scriptures that the Jews were familiar with. And then last of all, it points to Christ in the sense that Jesus is the destination of the old law. It all points toward him. And when he came, he lived under the law, Galatians chapter 4. He lived as a Jew under the law, and he fulfilled all of those types and antitypes, all of the prophecies, all of the old law. A great passage on this is Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. Paul writes, "For Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believes." Christ is the end of the law. It all points toward him. It is all fulfilled in him. He came to fulfill the law, Matthew 5, 17. There's a lot of passages in the Gospels that talk about Jesus fulfilling this scripture or that scripture. So number one, we can use the Old Testament to point to Jesus Christ and learn more about him. Number two, the Christian can use the Old Testament to show the unfolding plan of God of salvation. Once sin entered into the picture in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve, there was a need for a Savior. So God's plan to save mankind begins in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. It begins in the Old Testament. The gospel was preached to Abraham, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. There was good news in the Old Testament. And so, starting with the very first promise of a Savior in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." He, this coming one, which ends up being Jesus Christ, would bruise the head of Satan. When he died on the cross, he would crush Satan's plan. And so, the unfolding plan of God, the Old Testament, is like a shadow that points to the substance or the reality. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17, Hebrews 8, 5, Hebrews 10, 1. Just like a shadow points back on the ground, if you follow the shadow back to its source, you find, like the shadow of a tree, you find the real substance of a tree. And so the shadow is pointing forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. And so Christians today can view the whole plan of salvation from beginning to end by going back and starting in the Old Testament. And because the Old Testament is the shadow, Colossians 2:17, we're not under that. Paul says, "Which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is Christ." We're not to go back and be under the shadow. We're to be in the body of Christ. But that Old Testament does show the plan of salvation. Number three, a Christian can use the Old Testament to gain instruction in salvation. In general ways, we have to turn to the New Testament to find the specific things that we are supposed to do. We're supposed to, for example, repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. We're to confess that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. But if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, we find that Paul is referencing Timothy here, and the scriptures are mentioned. And they would certainly include, I believe, the Old Testament scriptures, if not completely a reference to them here. But the Old Testament can make one wise unto salvation. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:15, "And from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Every scripture inspired of God, and that would include the Old Testament, is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. I believe the Old Testament scriptures can make one wise unto salvation. And we're going to talk about this a little more in just a minute, but the way it would do that is it would talk about sin, give examples of sin, how a person can sin, the nature of God, and that He will punish sin unless it is forgiven, the nature of forgiveness. Again, the specifics of that forgiveness under the old law, specifically that which deals with the law of Moses, would involve animal sacrifices. But we're not under that today. But generally, we can learn even about salvation from the Old Testament. It's profitable. And we can use it for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. Of course, the New Testament scriptures would be the same. Do you know that the Bible of the New Testament church, before all of the 27 books of the New Testament were written and revealed, the Bible of the New Testament church were the 39 books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. That was their Bible, if you will. And they could use those Old Testament scriptures with much profit and even learning the importance of being saved. You can find in the Old Testament the basic salvation principle of by grace through faith. You can learn that from Noah's Ark. You can learn that from Joshua marching around the city of Jericho and the walls falling down. The principle of salvation by grace through faith. You can find that all through the scripture starting in the Old Testament. That God is a God of goodness and a God of severity. Sin, forgiveness, humility, repentance, obedience. All of these things that involve salvation can be found by reading accounts in the Old Testament. So, the Christian's use of the Old Testament. Number four, the Christian can use the Old Testament to provide examples of righteousness and being right with God. The Old Testament, for example, is full of examples of righteous faith, obedient faith. And you can read Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews is in the New Testament, and it gives a record of several Old Testament characters, men and women who were men and women of faith. And each of these examples, faith is obedient. Faith is active. It's not faith alone. It's not just some mental thought. It's faith that gets up and obeys. So Hebrews chapter 11. A great example is Hebrews 11:8. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. By faith he obeyed. Faith obeys. It acts. It gets up and does what God wants it to do. So there's all kinds of Old Testament examples of righteous, obedient faith. And Christians today are to follow these examples. We are told even in the New Testament that we are to follow the examples in the Old Testament. We're to follow the example of Job's patience. James tells us that in James chapter 5. We're to follow the example of an obedient faith of Abraham. Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 4 and verse 23. Romans 4:23. Now it was not written for his sake alone, Abraham's sake alone, that it was reckoned unto him, but for our sake also, unto whom it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. It wasn't just written for Abraham's sake alone, but for our sakes as well, when we walk in those same steps of Abraham. And Paul writes about that earlier in the same chapter. So we're to follow these examples and walk in his steps. Christians are to avoid unrighteous examples of disobedience and unbelief and rebellion and wickedness. We're not to follow those. Paul uses Old Testament examples in 1 Corinthians 10 in the New Testament of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness and their unbelief and their sin. He says, don't follow that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, don't walk after the same example of disobedience. 2 Peter 2, disobedient angels and the world of Noah that was disobedient. Jude verse 11, talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and the homosexuality there. Don't follow those examples of unrighteous disobedience and wickedness. So these things are in the Old Testament, whether righteousness or unrighteousness. And we follow the example of one and we stay away from the example of the unrighteous. And it's a great body of literature that provides examples of that. We're looking at the Christian's use of the Old Testament. We're not under the old law today, but we can use it for good profit in our preaching and teaching and reading and personal study. What's another use? Well, like we've just been saying, with regard to unrighteous examples, it warns of disobedience. The Old Testament scriptures show how God deals firmly with the disobedient. The book of Hebrews brings this up. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, for example. This is one example. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, talking about we Christians, so under the new covenant, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and of a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. And then what example does the Hebrew writer use? A man that has set at naught Moses' law dies without compassion on the mouth of two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, think ye, shall he be judged worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? So the writer goes back and uses an Old Testament example of individuals who were disobedient and punished as a result. You can see the same thing in Hebrews 2, 1 through 3, Hebrews 4, 1 and following, Acts 7, verse 39, the disobedient Israelites in the wilderness. And we understand that God is a person that is both good and severe. And his nature stays the same. He's a God of goodness and severity, Romans 11, 22. And that nature stays the same from the Old Testament into the New Testament. So it warns of disobedience and how God deals with that, and he'll do the same with us today. The Christian's use of the Old Testament also includes a warning about Satan himself. Right at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, we read about how that the devil comes to Eve and lies to her. And the devil does the same thing today. He uses the same tactics. And so when the devil said to her, when you eat of this, you shall not die, verse 4, Genesis 3, 4, you shall not die. God said that you will die if you eat of this fruit. The devil says you will not die. He lied to her. And so the devil uses that same type of thing today. Jesus calls him the father of lies in John chapter 8. He uses the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He works the same way. He used the same types of temptations with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. John talks about in 1 John 2, 15 and following that we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so the devil is using the same old tactics all the way down through time. And when we see him working in the Old Testament with Eve, with Job, with David in numbering Israel, we find that he'll use those same types of temptations and devices even today. And then last of all, the Christian could use the Old Testament for hope. the Old Testament gives hope. The things written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Romans 15 and verse 4. And when Paul said the things written aforetime, he surely had in mind the Old Testament Scriptures. That through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. You know, when you read your Old Testament, you find even there in Genesis 3 that eventually the devil would be crushed, the seed of the woman, which ultimately was Jesus, who was born of a woman. The hope, not only there in Genesis 3, but God covering Adam and Eve right there in Genesis chapter 3, we find that God puts in a place of sacrifice for Noah. Take these clean animals into the ark so that they can be sacrifices later for sin. There's hope. Then in Genesis chapter 12, especially God's calling and promise to Abraham, when he says in Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curses thee I will curse, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That is a great promise of hope, and we're a part of those all families. And Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3 that Christ is the fulfillment of that promise, that seed promise. There's hope that God's promises are kept. We find that when God promised Israel the land of Canaan, that he kept that promise. And when you read in the book of Joshua, he fulfilled all of his words in bringing them into the land. There's a hope of God's power and faithfulness. There's a hope of God's reign and control over all things. We've been studying in the book of Daniel, and he raises kingdoms up and lowers kingdoms. But his kingdom that was set up in the church in the first century, it is an everlasting kingdom. So God's reign and control is learned. There's a hope of an afterlife. There's glimpses of the afterlife. One is Job 19, 24 through 27, that after Job would die, he would one day see his Redeemer. And so there is hope in the Old Testament Scriptures. Friends, we are not under the old law today, but as Christians, we can use the Old Testament. It points to Christ. It shows the unfolding plan of God. It instructs in salvation, provides examples of righteousness, warns of disobedience, warns of Satan, and it gives hope. You know, there are approximately 1,604 New Testament citations of 1,276 different Old Testament passages. We should place the same value on the Old Testament as the New Testament church did. Let's avoid two extremes, binding the old law today when we shouldn't, but also let's avoid the extreme that the Old Testament should not be read or studied at all. It can be read and studied with great profit. Friends, we're glad that you joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. I hope that this was instructive to you. And remember our upcoming gospel meeting. And if you need more information, please give us a contact. Thank you and have a good day.